Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Mary, you're very welcome.
Thank you, Deirdre.
Good to see you again. Now, I was thinking of you yesterday. I had a guest on the show, Mihalo Caneja, and he was telling me about a school reunion he had, and he was saying that the group of them that always palled around together and that had the reunion, that they got their Leaving Cert results on the 15th of August, which was yesterday. And I think I got my Leaving Cert results around the 15th of August.
Yeah, it was. Traditionally, it was always mid-August.
It was, yeah. But of course, it changed even before the pandemic. It got a bit later, didn't it?
It did, yeah. It did get a bit later. And now the fact that they're trying to cater for people who may have missed a subject or got ill or had a bereavement, that's, again, a reason why it's been delayed a little bit further. So they're trying to accommodate all situations that students deal with, I think. But it is later. I mean, so CAO results, first office will be about the 8th of September, and they have to be back by about the 14th of September. So students will have to have decided then at that stage what they're going to do for their first choice.
Yeah, so we'll have plenty to talk about next month, I would
plenty,
imagine.
Yeah,
loads
plenty
to talk about. Now, we got a lot of questions for you, and it's interesting to gauge the different issues people have to do with education. So we're kind of gearing around our topics today around two questions that came in for you. And just to put the listeners in the picture, the first one came in from Angela, and she wanted to know if there were practical tips to help her daughter manage money. She says she spends every cent she gets and she always seems to be broke. She's heading off to college and she's looking for advice. But I suppose there's a lot more advice that you need about going to college, but money is a good one, isn't it?
Money is a very good one, yeah, because unfortunately we're all guilty, I suppose, that if we have children and they run out of money and they say, oh, please, we're inclined to give them a little bit more, etc. But when they're away, it's important that they do manage their budget. So one tip that I think is good is that even for the rest, you have another month before they would head off. So give them an allocation of money, or if they're working, they have an allocation. And if they divide that between Monday and Friday, and they know how much they have to spend each day, and not to go above that amount, because for them to realise there's repercussion. If I spend everything Monday and Tuesday, I don't have anything on Friday, so I can't go out, etc. And not to supplement, if when they're at home, not to supplement them with additional income. Because what happens is that, especially first years, I know myself from experience, Monday and Tuesday they spend all their money, and Wednesday they might have, you know, they're trying to scrimp and scrape a bit of food they've left. Thursday and Friday they're in trouble. And I've often had students who passed out and fainted, and I think, because you don't hear those kind of stories, but they're the real stories in colleges, that people do faint, that people try and get lifts home from people they don't know, maybe, etc. So they may be putting themselves even in danger. So if they have a good plan and are organised, but they must be, you know, empowered to do that with the parents. Because you have to remember, they've been living at home all the time, everything nearly done for them, they haven't had any real problems to deal with, and suddenly they're out on their own, and they will have problems to deal with. So it's important to help them those then, to give them the tools to deal with those problems.
And of course, it's all too easy to ring mum or ring dad and say, will you top up my Revolut card or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But like, if you're constantly bailing them out, they're not learning any lessons.
They're not, no. And I mean, they do need to know that if there's an emergency, like, they, you know, you will help them, of course. But you want them to become, you know, be able to stand on their own two feet and to cope themselves. And they get clever then as well about managing their money. So, for example, if they're buying a bus ticket home, get a return ticket. If they're buying a train ticket, get return. Use their student card to avail of every particular opportunity they can and every discount they can. So again, they will get clever the more they have to rely on their own abilities and skills to budget.
And I suppose the big danger with when the young people go to live away from home for the first time is that it's party on down, like,
yeah, of
it's freshers week, yeah. You know, and they blow all their money on beer, and the next thing, there's no money for food at the end of the week.
And again, it's important probably to know that most colleges will have a means of helping a student if they're in a crisis like that. So there's student services. A lot of them have shelves that there's food that on the shelves to take. So they need to just make themselves aware, if something goes wrong and if I'm really stuck for money, who can I go to? And they're in crisis situations, you know, and I'm quite sure probably every lecturer and every college, anybody involved, would have bailed a student out at some stage. I know I certainly have, at different stage, given them money for, you know, a bus or whatever. Alone, I would tell them always, you know, we've all done that, bought a meal, etc. But there are, most colleges have a system in place that if a student is really in trouble, they will help them out. So, I mean, it's important that they find out about those as well.
No, another one that came up actually about starting college. Listener said she's concerned her son is very untidy, dirty in fact, around the house. She says, will this have an impact on him if he goes to live with others in student accommodation? Well, I think it will somehow.
It will. It's funny because this year alone, I dealt with a number of students who actually couldn't cope with the fact that they were in a house full of students who were really, really unruly and dirty and untidy. And they actually left their college course and deferred it for a year and are going to go somewhere else this year.
That's very drastic, isn't it?
It is, yeah. They just found, like, it was kind of party central, as you said. They were really dirty. The student in question, one of them used to kind of clean things, clean up the house and have food in the fridge, etc., and come home and everything was completely like, you know, a bomb went off there and all his food eaten. And he just found it really, really difficult. So again, that's something that needs to be worked on even now. It's important that their personal hygiene is really important. And again, people don't realise that a lot of people just don't bother with personal hygiene. And suddenly if they're in a house and they've, you know, there's a smell of BO off them, you know, people won't be long kind of disassociating them completely from, you know, things that are going on in activities. And that is a huge impact on a student if they don't feel part of the community, part of the group going out, etc. So personal hygiene is really important, and it's important that they respect the space that they all share, especially whatever about their own room. They can have that as untidy as they like. But if there's a living area or kitchen, it's important they learn to, there's give and take, and that they must respect people, their boundaries, and must respect the fact that they're living with essentially strangers. So normally what happens, though, is that it gets to a point where, like, there's kind of a meeting in a house. This is what I hear of the students and what I advise them myself. And then they ask, and there's an intervention, and they say, look, you know, we have a problem here. Can we try and put a rota up and we clean, etc.? And everybody makes sure they have a shower every day, so they say it discreetly initially. So it is important. So I would be inclined to encourage that person. I think it was a son, you said. I would be inclined to encourage them to ensure that they take good personal hygiene, and they start to just respect the space at home as well, because I mean that should be respected too, because you're respecting the other family members when you respect the space at home.
Yeah, and I guess as well, be very careful who you move in with.
Yeah, of course. But unfortunately, if you're in student accommodation, they would normally assign, say, first years together so that they're at the same, you know, transition. But a lot of the time they don't know who. You can put in a request to say, for example, I might want to share with you, for example, but they won't guarantee that. But at the same time, if you do put in a request for two or three people, they will try and accommodate your request, you know.
This is a very interesting one that came in as well on that topic. A parent got in touch to say they are very concerned about their daughter and her coping. She's applied to college in Dublin. She doesn't know the city very well at all. Should she try and get her to defer her place for another year? That's a very tricky one.
Yeah, if the course is right for her, I would be inclined to say not to defer or not to encourage her to defer the course. The reason being is that I deal with students nationally, and I find the students in Munster, if I recommend a course in Dublin, even if it's lower points, they are horrified. They say, no, there's no way I'm going to go to Dublin. You know, I'll go to Cork or Galway or Limerick, but Dublin is out. So the fact she's willing to go to Dublin, that says an awful lot about the student, you know, herself. What I would do, though, is to alleviate the mum's worrying, and even for the student to be more comfortable moving up, is that I would encourage her to go up a couple of times between now and college starts. Go up with a friend, stay in a hostel, stay near the college, see what the bus routes are like. What
get your bearings. Darts
like. Yeah, find out what's going on. Ask, can she have a tour of the college? I mean, if you contact admissions, you can go up now, look around, see where's the library, where's the canteen, where's the student bar, and become familiar with the surroundings. And make sure she knows, like, if she find her accommodation where it's going to be, and find how to get there and get home safely at night to see what's the public transport like. So, like, empower her again, rather than asking her to defer so that, you know, you're keeping her at home for another year. If she's willing to take the adventure and she's willing and has the confidence to move to Dublin, like, encourage and support that. Also, reach out for her network. There's always going to be somebody she knows in Dublin. So can she go up there and stay a night? Somebody who'll know, you know, Dublin, know the place. And also she will have a contact then, if anything, if there's a problem, if there's a major issue, she has somebody up there that she can contact.
Like an aunt or a cousin,
yes,
or something
somebody
like that.
And remember,
yeah,
like, it's only 3.5 hours from Kerry to Dublin. at this stage. You can get a green bus if you really have to get home in the midweek, you know. So nothing is unsurmountable.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be inclined to encourage her if the course is right. That's what's key.
Yeah, she's and we should say as well, of course, that she's very lucky to have accommodation in Dublin from the horror stories we've been hearing about.
Yeah, there's all kinds going on.
This is it. Just interestingly there, what she says, the mom says about deferring the course, I wonder too, I find myself wondering as well how old the girl is, because again, this is another conversation we've had on the show recently. Yeah. There are some people still doing the Leave Insert and they're barely 17.
That's right.
And there's more people doing it and they're actually 19.
And that's a huge difference in maturity. And in their coping skills. So, I mean, you do have to take all that into account, you know. But if deferring the place is because her mom doesn't want her to go to Dublin, like, that's the issue that I would be looking at, you know, looking at, is she mature enough and old enough to be taking it off herself? That's a separate issue then, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, we've kind of covered that, I think, but we'll be quite happy to come back to it if anybody has other questions about starting college for the first time. What we'll do now, though, is we'll take a break and we're going to move on in the second half of this slot to the whole idea of starting secondary school for the first time, which, as I mentioned earlier, I think is a topic that's often overlooked and deserves a bit of discussion as well. If you've a question for Mary Lucy, please send it in to us. We're on 083 300 3300. You can also email us if you prefer, talkabout@radiocurry.ie, and indeed you can call Mary, who's on the phones this afternoon, on 066 712 3666. 17 minutes past 2, you're listening to Talk About on Radio Kerry, and we'll be right back with you in a moment.
Careers ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Now, as I mentioned earlier on in the programme, there's a huge palaver every year about first day at school and about how traumatising it is for little kids around 5 or 6 to, well, 4 or 5 perhaps, start school for the first time. But equally traumatising and laden with problems is the whole issue of starting secondary school. And that doesn't seem to get as much media attention. And it's a huge leap from primary to secondary. You go from having one teacher to having multiple teachers, from having limited subjects to having 13 or 14 subjects. And you've to find your way around the school and all of that. Mary, I'm glad that you put this on the agenda today. What's your best advice for parents whose kids are starting secondary next month?
Try and reduce the build-up to it, I think, because sometimes I meet a parent and they ask me to speak to a son or daughter. When I meet them, they say, oh my God, I'm so stressed out, the fact that they're going to secondary school and they're so stressed out and I can't believe. So they're building up the anxiety and kind of worry, maybe things that the child hasn't even thought of, do you know? So I think deal with it calmly. It is a big change, but try and look at it that it's an exciting change for them and they're ready for it. And also, kind of, if they have concerns, deal with concerns in a practical way. So rather than just saying, are you worried about the fact that it's such a big school? Like, you know, take them up in advance. Ask the principal, the schools will be open. Can I take my son or daughter up? They're quite worried about the location, the logistics, how big it is. Can I show them where the toilets are, where the canteen is, where the classroom he or she would be based in? And they will all say yes. I mean, no school will say no, they can't come in now. Like, they will organise a tour for them. So, and it's things like that. The more familiar they feel, it builds their confidence. And also sometimes, as you know, sometimes people kind of try to save face. So on the first day, if you feel your son or daughter is really nervous, arrange for them to meet a friend maybe and go in together with a friend or somebody that they know, because they'll feel they have somebody, a little bit of a crutch going into the school, and again they will feel happier about it. And the more practical you can have everything resolved and any of their concerns that you can deal with, you know, I mean, then deal with them. Now, if there's concerns that you can't deal with and you feel you need input from the school, ask to speak to the school in advance, you know, without your son or daughter, and say, like, I have somebody starting school, like, they do have these concerns and these issues, how will you handle them or how are you going to deal with them? So have a plan in place before they even start, if there's something major that needs to be dealt with. But otherwise, it's normal for them to feel anxious and, you know, to feel a little bit of anxiety. I do think, don't have a big fuss outside the school, hugging, kissing, all that the first day, because again, they will be trying to show that they're grown up, etc. So take photographs, anything you want to do, take them at home beforehand.
Maybe don't pick them up on social media.
You know, saying, oh, my baby, all grown up. Those things they don't like normally. Maybe inwardly they do, but they don't outwardly, certainly. So just deal with it. If they have concerns, deal with them. Deal with them in a practical way. Resolve what you can resolve. But again, tell them it will be change. But I think the better they will cope in there socially, the academic side will fall into place.
And can you expect a certain bumpy couple of weeks until they settle down? Because it's very, very different.
Of course, yeah. I mean, as you said, they have a number of different teachers. Even things like the names of the teachers. I remember going to a parent-teacher meeting once and I went into the room and there were six science teachers. And I had no name for science teacher. So I texted one of my sons, what's your science teacher's name? And he said, Miss. And I said, Miss what? He said, Miss, I don't know. That's, we all just call her Miss. So, like, so he was like a first year. You know, he hadn't a clue what the name of his teacher. So now he just called her Miss and she was Miss to him. That was no good to me. So even like get them to write down the teacher's names, you know, beside the subject so that they will associate Miss whatever, Miss Walsh with science, etc. You know, and they will take, it will take time for them. I do think a big change in secondary school that they don't realise until around Christmas is that they need to start doing a bit of revision from the beginning. Homework is homework. And they're used to that from primary school. But nobody really mentions studying or revision as such, because that's something they need to do themselves. And again, I worked with a student and they contacted me at Christmas that they had Christmas exams and he didn't realise they'd have Christmas exams. So he did his homework diligently every night, but was faced with Christmas exams then in all the subjects and hadn't revised anything. So was completely having a panic attack about it all, you know. So again, just a little bit. They do not have to kill themselves in any way, but just look over the work they've done, you know, on a weekly basis or every few nights, have a little, you know, spend a bit of time, set a bit of time aside so that they can keep on top of the subjects. That's one bit of advice I think is good.
Now, again, this topic was inspired by questions that came in for you on this subject, Mary. We had a listener who said he's worried his son isn't that into sport, is going to start his first year in an all-boys secondary very shortly. Do you think this will have a major impact on him fitting into the new school?
I think over the years, if you were sporty, you would automatically be accepted into a boys, all-boys school because they would want you on the teams, etc. I think nowadays that has changed. And I think, especially if it's a larger school, they will cater for all your needs. So be it chess, be it debating, be it film, etc. They should have some option for all students that are not all very sporty. Now, I do think also it's important that they may not be a genius or amazing at sport, but they may enjoy just even playing around if it's not competitive. What happens a lot of young fellas, I think, is that when they get to under 12s, it starts to become competitive. And if they're not really good, they drop out because they're not picked for all the teams. So they could dabble in new sports when they start school there, or they could look to see what other areas they're interested in and get involved in something there. And if it's a small school and there isn't an option, they could always approach their teacher and ask them, could they set up a club, a film club, a card playing at lunchtime or whatever. So they can start something, an initiative that suits them, and there'll be others that will enjoy it. So, I mean, I don't think it will be a major problem.
Yeah, and in fairness, most schools now have a really broad range of extracurricular.
Yeah,
I mean, there's something for the musical kid, for the science kid, for the sporty kid.
And as I've said before, everyone is really good at something.
Yeah.
So if it's not in the school, the student could instigate and start something in the school.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure schools would be open to that.
And
We have a listener who says, my daughter doesn't have good coping skills when faced with new situations. They always make her really anxious. Any tips to help out prior to starting in secondary?
So as I said, try and list what's she concerned about. And then try and put a plan in place and resolve that so that she won't be concerned about it. Reassure her that everybody will feel some bit anxious because all of them are in a new situation. Even if, a lot of students say to me, like, all the others are fine, but they're not fine internally. They're just better at showing externally that they're coping better. So some of them might be a little bit more confident, but they're still nervous starting off. Of course they are. So I would look and see the coping skills, things like even where will I be picked up outside of the school? If I have to get a bus, what's the right bus? The amount of students, you couldn't believe that actually come outside the school, get on the first bus they see and end up in a different place altogether. So they end up in Killarney and they're supposed to be in Tralee, or Killarglen and Tralee, and their mum or dad gets a text to say, I actually took the wrong bus. And I'm because when they got out, there was 20 buses and they hadn't thought of that, you know. So the practical, resolve the practical matters that you can, you know. And if she's anxious, aim to just, if she can have a friend or somebody she knows or familiar with, that will help her starting off. If there's a student that is, you know, in a higher class, that may take her under her wing for a little bit of time and explain, she's a little bit nervous. And gradually, take it slowly and gradually. Like, you know, as they say, Rome wasn't built in a day. I mean, it is slow steps for them all. And some people who start off great, they regress when they're in there. You know, so it doesn't always mean sometimes that because they love it and they think it's great. Sometimes when they're faced with different situations, then as the term progresses, they don't feel as confident. So, you know, if she takes it gradually and is anxious initially, well, then, I mean, she might settle in. And the long term, she might be much better off.
Exactly. Yeah. I was talking to somebody a few months ago and she was telling me about her daughter who started in the secondary school in first year and was maybe a week, 2 weeks into it and just came home and said, this is not for me. And the mom got her into another secondary school where she settled immediately. Yeah. Does that happen from time to time? I was kind of surprised at that.
Yeah, it does. And it's a very difficult situation because what do you do as a parent? You know, now I've dealt with quite a few sixth years who like left school because of bullying and then continued on and studied and did their Leaving Cert from home as such, just went into the school and did their exams, you know, because at that stage they felt, well, I think I can cope myself and I can get help, whatever, and do my Leaving Cert. If it happens in first year, I would look at the school to see how they're supporting first, because the school need to be told and need to help and be involved. If a student is really unhappy like that, there's something you need to see. Is it the school is the problem, or is there an issue or something that the student itself needs to be helped? And the school should do everything they can in their power to help the student, because sometimes they're just not aware how a student is feeling. It's a little bit like bullying. I mean, you can say to somebody, you're not being bullied, because it's the person themselves that feel they are bullied, and you never know how a person feels. So it's a little bit like that with if they're anxious about school. You know, so a principal or a teacher might say, they're not anxious, they're fine. But they can say that because they don't know how the student feels. So unless they connect with them individually, if there's a student there, or a student, maybe a career guidance or counselling, person who's in counselling, if they can connect, and if they have like an individual connection, normally it helps the student great when they're in the secondary school.
Yeah, I know that in a lot of parts of Kerry, a lot of towns and villages, there might be only one choice of secondary school. Yeah. But if you live in a big town like Tralee or Killarney, and there are options of maybe three different schools, how do you know which one is right for your son or daughter?
I mean, I look to see the kind of ethos of the school. If the focus for me is on the individual student, I'm not particularly interested in the results of the school, the results of the class, how many go to college, how many go to PLC, how many go to... If the focus is on the student and it's genuinely on the student and they care about their overall development academically, personally, socially, emotionally, to me that's the right school for a son or daughter, because if they're in the right school, they will get the results they deserve from the work they put in, and they will get the results that are right for them and match them. To me, I'm not interested if they are placed 10th in the league table or whatever, because if it's not right for my son or daughter, then the school isn't in the top league for me. And I think we all know the type of environment that our own students or our own sons or daughters thrive in. Some, it might be that they like a real structured, you know, highly motivated, pressurised environment. They perform well. Others, they fall to pieces in that kind of environment. So they need a more, you know, like casual, you know, more compassionate environment. So I think that's what I look for. I see what is the ethos in the school, what's the environment. When you go in, does it seem friendly? How do the students relate to the teachers that are there? You know, are they, you know, just scared? Do they seem afraid of teachers or afraid of principals? Or is it a relaxed kind of an atmosphere that students flourish? I also think that every school, like, again, you see a lot about the students. When you go into a school, sometimes it annoys me, I have to say. There's pictures on the wall of this person got 625 points, this person got 625 points. But I think sometimes a student who gets 300 points might have worked equally as hard as the person who got 625, but they don't get the same kind of acknowledgement. So I think, again, a school who acknowledges what all the students, I should say each student, is good at, and like amplifies that then, you know, so that when you go in, you see a student who's great, as you said, at music, who's great at poetry, who's great at sport, so that they should all be, you know, all their accomplishments should be highlighted, and not just points or the academic accomplishments.
And yet I think parents do fall into the trap of looking at those league tables that are printed in the Sunday Times,
I think they do. Yeah. But if they are on the other side, like I have been for lots of years, and if they see what the number of students who, for example, have 625 points that I work with, who are dropping out of their medicine, their, you know, pharmacy courses because they hate them, and it isn't that, then they would have a different view. I mean, my view has changed over the years. Of course, the more I've learnt, the more I realise like that it is really about getting the right course for you, not the points you get.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very positive note to end on. Actually, we will squeeze in just one more question, Mary. I know we've gone over time, but a listener, this is a college-related question. Right. Listener says, if a student fails an exam in second year, can they transfer to another course, or will they have to repeat second year? And this is a student going to MTU.
It depends. It depends, first of all, if they can transfer, if the course is relatable. So a typical example would be that if they did, say, a business course in Tralee, we'll say, or they did a business course in UL and they failed a module in second year, they could apply to transfer to second year in the MTU Tralee, and it wouldn't be a problem. But they would need to complete and pass the module they failed. So I would be advising them to register to repeat that module. They will only need to get a 40 in it, and then they can apply to transfer, and they can apply to transfer into third year because they will have 2 years complete. But they can only apply to transfer to second year if they didn't complete the full set of modules for second year. So if it's a related comparable course, there shouldn't be an issue. They just contact the admissions office of the new college they wish to transfer to. But I would be advising them to try and pass the module that they have failed, so that they have a full year if it's only one module that they failed. Now, if they failed a suite of modules in second year,
that's a different thing.
Well, they'll have to transfer into the second year.
Okay.
So that they will have to start that again the second year.
Okay, Mary, before we let you go, you might just tell people how they can contact you, whether it's advice on secondary school or career choices or college choices, whatever it is. And just remind people that Mary also advises people who may be in the workforce and thinking.
Yes, I do. I suppose I'm focusing at the moment on the pertinent issues, as we discussed, you know, and college and secondary school at the moment,
is the seasonal kind of seasons best.
Yeah. You can contact me on email is marylucey with an E-L-U-C-E-Y at careerahead.ie, or I have a website, careerahead.ie, or just on social media, Facebook, on Instagram.
Perfect. Yeah. Excellent. Mary, thank you for some great advice there for people starting college and starting secondary school, because as you said, those are the...
And the best of luck to all the secondary school
yes.
starting anyway, first of all, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And by the time you come back for the next slot, they'll be well up and running, and no doubt we'll have lots of questions as well. Mary Lucy, thank you very much for joining us.